Good morning and welcome back to our Clark Pleasant families and listeners. This is our second episode of Tim Talks, a podcast that we started this school year. And last Tim Talks podcast was about our high school construction project. And if we have time, we're going to circle back to that because today's topic is to learn a little bit more about our food services department. And there is going to be an expansion that's part of our high school construction project that will impact our food services. So without further ado, we have today our food services director, Miss Lauren Jones. She's been with us maybe a year, 2 years. And before we get into some questions about food services, Lauren, welcome. And I would like you to maybe just share a little bit about your background, anything you'd like to share professionally and personally.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Edsel. I'm happy to be here. So I got my bachelor's in nutrition at Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois. And at that time, in order to become a dietitian, you have to do what's called a dietetic internship, which is basically kind of our clinical and practical hours. So I got that position back at IUPUI here in Indiana where I grew up and did that, had a lot of experience from that here in Indy for about a year, and then jumped into, you know, the world of work. My first position was actually out of school on the north side of Indianapolis, working on a grant program that brought nutrition and fitness education to the school district. So between my internship experience and that job, that's really what grew my passion for school nutrition. From there, that was a grant position, so it didn't last more than about a year, but I moved on, got some clinical experience, and really decided I kind of wanted to dive into that business side. So I spent about 9 years working for IU Health, and at that time I worked on my MBA in the background, gained some leadership experience, and kind of kept looking for school nutrition opportunities that I could get back into where I really wanted to be. And about a year and a half ago, that opportunity came up when our food services director of 32 years retired. So she did a lot of great work for the community, and I'm hoping to kind of do the same going forward. So,
well, thank you for sharing, Lauren. I know you've got young children. In fact, probably not the best school nutrition. Yesterday was Halloween, and I'm sure you had your kids out there getting some candy and all that. So I'm sure that was a good time for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's jump right into maybe an initial question about what are the daily operations? What does it look like within food services from obviously our daily cafeteria workers that serve the students in our elementaries, middle school, and of course high school, and our food managers. And then of course, you know, you have your department that's more centralized that obviously does a lot of ordering and stuff like that. So maybe share a little bit more details of what does it look like maybe in your buildings and even in your department on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Food appearing on the table and on the line for these students isn't magic, right? I have a department of about 70 employees that it takes to make this happen district-wide every day. So that really starts with menu planning, which happens almost a whole year in advance. It just takes so much to follow the USDA guidelines that we're required to follow as a part of the National School Breakfast and National School Lunch programs to make sure that we're providing nutritious meals to the students. So we have to spend a lot of time making sure the menu meets those guidelines, making sure that we can source those ingredients from the vendors that we can purchase from, making sure that we're doing all of that and being good stewards of the money that we do get from the families in the district and from the USDA and the government that we are provided to help, you know, nourish these kids and help them along. So a lot of that happens kind of in the background at the admin team. And then from there, you know, the purchasing goes down to the building manager. We have building managers that place orders every week for fresh produce, for all of the ingredients it requires to make the meals that you see on those menus that were so painstakingly made. And sometimes that means a pivot. You know, a lot of stuff happens. We had some issues last year in our major distributor's warehouse where there was some equipment failures and there was a lot of products that were lost. And so we really had to pivot and find substitute products and do what we could to get food on the table for the kids. So stuff like that happens, you know, it's part of the real world. It happens to us at home. We all lived it during COVID, but stuff like that happens in the industry all the time. So those kinds of things are happening. The managers are making sure that food gets in the building and then training the staff to cook it properly, to be sanitary and safe and make sure that the food that makes it to the line is not only visually appealing and obviously a good taste, but also safe for our students, proper temperature, proper cooking procedures, all of that. And then really on the line, their job on the day-to-day, standing in front of the students, is kind of educating them on the proper food choices and helping them learn how to eat proper, not just at school, but at home. So we talk to them about the different food groups and making sure that they're taking fresh fruits and veggies every day. We offer at least 2 fruits and 2 veggies every day on every line in the district. So they're getting lots of variety, all kinds of colors, trying new things that maybe they don't have access to at home.
You know, you mentioned just a few examples of, you know, having a good, well-balanced and proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. We're not like a fast food restaurant where, you know, we can just pick and choose whatever we want. You've got rules, you've got guidelines to follow. And we also know from obviously what we see in our culture that there is a childhood obesity issue and a concern. Mm-hmm. And so part of our responsibility, because we feed many of our students breakfast and lunch, is to do it in a manner that is going to educate and give them a good, well-balanced diet so that they can hopefully learn more and produce and be a good, better student. Mm-hmm. And they're with us for a good 7.5 hours, and even if they're doing extracurricular activities, even more than that. So maybe expand a little bit more about some of those either state and federal regulations that, you know, you mentioned fruits and vegetables. What does that meal planning look like, and you know, what does it consist of?
Yeah, absolutely. So this all started, I think, back in around 2010 when there was a new act pushed through Congress called the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. And the idea was really just to make sure that what we're feeding our students at school, like you said, mimics the best nutrition, mimics what we want to be educating them on, helps kind of combat any childhood obesity or food insecurity issues when we can. And so the idea is there's lots of guidelines we have to follow to get that funding. The first is, you know, making sure we're offering whole grains every day, making sure we're lowering the sodium a little bit. We have to offer fresh fruits and vegetables, but not just any fruits and vegetables. We have to menu certain items every week that's a red green vegetable or a red orange vegetable or a leafy green vegetable. There has to be some variety in there, so we're not seeing the same things every single day. And that means when one item's out of stock, you know, we're pivoting, trying to find something else to meet that exact guideline. The idea is not, you know, obviously for the government to tweak everything down so hard to make it difficult on us. It's really to help meet the needs of the student. And all of that stems from the plan that they build, stems from a document that's released every so many years called the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. And so they take that, they look at the pediatric and what is expected kind of pediatrically based on lots of clinical research for children, and they give us guidelines of what to feed at what age group, because we're feeding them sometimes 2 out of the 3 meals they're going to eat in a day, to make sure that we're optimizing their nutrition for that. So there's a lot that goes into that. But really, it's all with the student's best interest at heart.
You know, I think back to when I was in school in the 70s and 80s, and the food that we serve now is so much better back then. Mm. I mean, we had salmon loaf and stuff that, boy, was really not very good. But yet, what I've seen just in the last 5-10 years is more of an emphasis on freshness and local freshness and produce.
Yeah.
And do we do a little bit of that?
We do. And there's more of that coming too. I think that's an initiative that's been hard because there's so many guidelines that regulate making sure that the food producers are properly vetted, that the food that we're giving our students is safe. And so it's taken some time for local farmers to really get connected with the right people to be able to source that. But just an example is this year we've been partnering with AppleWorks here in Johnson County. The new owner of AppleWorks, students go here to Clark Pleasant, and she reached out, and we've been working on getting AppleWorks apples in our building. We serve apples every single week in every single building. So it's really cool to say that we're now giving them apples that, you know, were grown right here in Johnson County. So that's just one example of many things we're trying to work in. There are more guidelines coming down the pike that require us to reduce sodium even more, to reduce sugar even more, those types of things that are coming from the USDA. A new law was just passed this year. It does give us several years to make that happen. And so along with that, we are kind of tweaking, you know, the sodium, the biggest issue is sodium. Most of the foods that we used to just pull out of the freezer and bake are pretty high in sodium because that's what it takes to preserve those things to make sure they stay good in the freezer. And so as we move to lower sodium requirements, we are moving back towards more of that home style cooking that you remember from when you were growing up, like we were talking about, and even my age as well. And so we're really going to see some shifts in the menus over the next couple years, but we think it's really for the better. We're really excited to see, you know, what we can do. We're trying to get student feedback. We've been working on a new homemade ranch, and we did a sampling here at the high school last week with one of our interns that came through and let the students try it right there in the cafeteria during lunch and give us their feedback with a little poll to see which ones they like better. So we're really trying to take student involvement into those decisions as well.
Oh, that's great. I love me a good golden delicious apple. Yes. I love what you just said about getting student input. And I know students probably love free samples like I do.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, let's talk a little bit about technology and mm-hmm. some of the new technology that you have implemented or getting ready to implement in food services.
Yeah, we've got a couple things going on at once, actually. So the first thing is we're bringing in this program called Identimetrics that allows us to use a student's finger to scan it at the register and check them out that way during the lunch line. The idea is to speed up the line and to also help students. At the beginning of the year, especially those younger grades, your kindergartners, your first graders, even some second graders, they don't know their student ID number, which is how most students are currently ringing up their lunch. They're entering a number on a pen pad. And it takes some time to get them comfortable and memorizing that number. So they have student ID cards they grab and they scan every day. That takes a lot of time and effort from both staff and students to make that process work properly and get them through the line. And even the students that do have their number memorized, sometimes they type it wrong. Sometimes they're, you know, the machine's not working properly, so they hit the wrong button and it rings up the wrong kid. We've had situations where even the students that have a student ID, maybe there's another student in the district with the same first and last name. And so they had the wrong ID number given to them somehow. They were entering it wrong. And we've had mix-ups, really crazy like that sometimes. So it's really nice that with a finger scan, it's going to be unique to that student. They don't have to memorize anything. They can't accidentally use the wrong student's account. It's going to be very straightforward. We've started a pilot of that at Whiteland Elementary. We did the enrollment process. It went pretty smooth, and we're going to be going live with trying that pilot here in the next couple of weeks. And so we're excited about that. But the other piece of the new technology we're bringing in is new software on the back end. And we're really hoping that's going to make things a lot better for families as well. So we've had the same software for a number of years, and it works really well. But there's a lot of new advances of things we didn't know the technology could do that we're going to see it be able to do. So one example is we have parents call all the time wanting to know, where'd this money go? I put all this money on my kid's account, and it's gone. What happened? And today, we can print them a transaction report and send it to them, but that's not something they can access on their own. With the new software that we're going to be rolling out next semester, parents are going to be able to see a 30-day history of what their student purchased in the line on their online account. So they'll be able to kind of actively see what's going on every day with their money. Another issue we run into with our current software is that the online payment system and our registers are not directly connected. So we have to do a manual upload of payments 4 or 5 times a day, especially the middle of the day when lunch is going on, to make sure that that money appears on the cash registers that our employees are ringing students up on. And with this new software, that number is going to be automatically synced every 10 to 15 minutes. So students aren't going to be showing up in the line saying, my mom just said she made a payment. Why does it say there's nothing in there? You know, all that to say, we never turn a student away from a meal. They're always going to get a meal no matter what's going on with their lunch money. We're not going to starve them by any means, but it does prevent them sometimes from buying extra snacks that they might need to take to practice or whatever. So we really want to work through those kinks and make sure we can do the best for our students. And I really think this new software is going to do that.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Two positive things I heard from listening to you is no one likes to, you know, wait in lines, even kids. And then, you know, this new technology does not compromise at all the integrity and the security of any of our students. So that's great to know. And it's a reassurance. So, you know, it's very comfortable knowing that you're looking at how we're allowing our students to be able to get to the table so mm-hmm. they can socialize and eat their food even more than just, you know, wasting some time waiting in line. So
yeah, I mean, they have a limited amount of time for lunch, so right. We don't want them to spend the majority of that standing in line. We want them to have the time to decompress, get the nutrition they need, have a few minutes to talk to their friends before it's time to go back to the learning environment.
Exactly. Well, you know, let's switch gears to another topic. We live in the best country in the world. Mm-hmm. And even in saying that, I know that we throw a lot of food away.
We do.
I've taken several missions trips with my daughters and in third world countries, and that doesn't happen there. Food is precious.
Absolutely.
And it should be. So in saying all that, I'll kind of just really ask you, what are some either ideas or strategies you may have in place or thinking about implementing with respect to, you know, reducing that waste or partnering with some other local communities that we can take some of those prepackaged food items that we know our students don't use and give it to those families that are definitely in need. What are some thoughts there?
Absolutely. So we already have in practice a few things. The first is, in order to try to help reduce where we're cooking too much already, we have a system that we kind of track every time we serve a certain meal, what we made and what was actually served. So that helps us throughout the school year keep good numbers on how much we can kind of estimate our students are going to eat. But at the end of each day, leftover food actually gets frozen and stored in the freezer. And we have a relationship with the Interchurch Food Pantry here in Johnson County that comes once a week and picks up all kinds of extra food from us to take to the food pantry here in Johnson County. So on breaks, that looks like a lot of milk that's left over, maybe some produce that's left over that's going to be bad before we come back to school. It can be all kinds of stuff. But even the meals we serve get frozen and sent there so that local families here in Johnson County can benefit from our extras.
Oh, that sounds like an excellent partnership. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And our last question is what I mentioned at the very beginning. Let's circle back to our high school. And we know we're in the midst of a multi-year, multi-phase construction project right now, currently in phase one. Very soon, entering into the pre-part of what we'll call phase two, which is where we're going to expand our cafeteria at the high school and even the kitchen area so that mm-hmm. there is obviously more equipment, more space for our workers, for our students to obviously sit and eat their breakfast and lunch. So maybe just give us some high-level stuff of what excites you with this upcoming phase of the whole cafeteria and the kitchen area and what you can see is going to be a better product and better process within food services.
Yeah, absolutely. So the kitchen we have was obviously built many years ago when this place was a lot smaller. It was not built to serve, 13 to 1400 kids a day at lunch like we're doing right now, but we're making it work. Obviously we're getting them fed. My staff is very excited to be even dreaming about the kitchen that we're going to get out of this new project that will really allow us this space to offer more variety to our students. They see a lot of variety right now, but they do spend a lot of time in the serving lines. So this new project is going to give us more space in the kitchen, also a better setup of serving lines, and a much bigger cafeteria to kind of allow for student growth. Our serving line area is probably where I'm most excited, just because, like I said, that serving line time is such a kind of sticking point for our students, getting them to the table to spend more time eating and kind of decompressing as opposed to standing in line. So with the new serving line area, we're going to have the ability to not have straight lines like we have right now. The students are going to kind of go into sort of a food court style setup where they have several different lines they can go choose food from, and then they can pick whichever cashier's got the lowest line to get through the line and not be kind of streamlined to one cash register. So I think that'll really help pick up the pace of what's going on in our lines. And it's also going to allow us a lot more variety. You know, we're going to have more than four spots we can offer them food. I think we're going to have six serving lines with the new kitchen. So just more space to spread out, more options we can offer them. We're really looking to kind of expand some of that diversity in our food. We're already doing that a little bit, but more space is just going to help that even more. So excited to see what we can offer for the students with the new setup we're going to have. We're pretty excited.
Boy, that is exciting. As I was listening to you, that just reminded me of almost like a university type of feel to it.
Yeah, so that's what we're hoping. You know, as these students, our job at the high school level is to prepare them for college or whatever they're going to do in life next. So, you know, hopefully by the time they've gotten to high school, we've already helped them establish those healthy habits, and they know what components make a meal that they have to take in the serving line. And there's going to be some islands with fresh fruits and vegetables they can kind of choose from on the way to the cash register. There's going to be lots of kind of a la carte options, some drink options, and like I said, more variety in the meals as well. So exciting stuff.
You know, a great thank you to our Clark Pleasant Food Services Director, Ms. Lauren Jones. Thank you, Lauren, for obviously taking time out of your very busy schedule to be our guest today and our, you know, Tim Talks podcast. I appreciate all that you and your team do to help feed our students.
Yes,
and
thank you so much.
With that, please stay tuned for our next podcast, probably in about a month or so, with a different topic. Hope you all have a great weekend. Thank you.
Tim Talks is a production of the Whiteland High Entertainment Network. For more content, follow us on Instagram at WhitelandNet or check out our YouTube page.